The Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. The name of the program is called A Voice of a People. Thank you for tuning in today. Baby, it is cold outside. Wow. It was like 34 this morning, but with the wind, it felt like 23. And not only that, it's getting colder and colder as the day goes on. Now, let me share with you, we also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download an app on your phone, just like other apps you download. The name of this one is called TuneIn. And once you download it on any electronic device, please search WWGH and take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. I'm sure you will find one to your liking. You also have another app option if you would like to call in, ask questions of myself or my guests anytime that we are live on the air, except it's a telephone interview, and we are doing quite a few of them because of the COVID-19 crisis that we are in right now. Okay, the telephone number here is 740-383-9944. And again, the station is WWGH107.1 FM Radio. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. That's the name of the show. Don't forget, okay? Now, we start out with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement every third Saturday of every month. They have free produce. Now, that will take place this Saturday, December the 19th. They begin from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Okay, remember, 12 noon until 2 p.m. And don't forget, this is the month of Christmas. And it will be, wow, today is the 14th, 25 days, was that 11 more days? Oh my. So if you have need of free produce during the holiday, please write down this information. 582 Lee Street. It'll be this Saturday, December 19th, beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Or if you have no need of this, please share this information with someone you know who would like to have that. And not only that, would appreciate it. Thank you. Well, Logos Ministries, thank you. We have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio also. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Their location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there, 740-262-0939. And last but not least, okay, I know there are those of you who listen faithfully. Thank you so much for your support. And it may be your first time tuning in to A Voice of a People live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. And if it is, welcome and thank you for tuning in. All right, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it is titled Time Out. You ever have to put your children in time out because they were bad or would not listen to you? I never tried that option, but let's see what time out says. It begins like this. Time out. Is there some time for yourself today just for you to sit quietly and refresh and renew, not escaping into the TV or thrashing around a squash court? Just time to sit quietly. Focus your thoughts. I'm not going to tell you that. That just disappeared on me. Oh, my. Let me see if I can get that back. I can't believe that. It just disappeared. And it was sounding good, wasn't it? Oh, wow. Hold on. Oh, here we go. It's still there. It just disappeared. Okay. Let's start over. Time out. Is there some time for yourself today, just for you to sit quietly and refresh and renew, not escaping into the TV or thrashing around a squash court? I don't know what that is, but squash court. Okay, maybe some of you do know what that terminology means. Just time to sit quietly, focus your thoughts, check your priorities, make sure there is nothing negative pushing you down in your own mind. Take some time and be with yourself. If you don't, you may miss meeting the most important person in your life. Now that's powerful, isn't it? Because you are the most important person in your life. And you know, sometimes I don't understand how we miss that, because we're so busy making everything and everyone us more important than us. And then we walk around and wonder why we're so sad and our countenance is low. Everyone's smiling and having a good time but us. Right? That's because we haven't paid attention to ourselves. We don't look at ourselves. We don't spend time with ourselves. So therefore, we don't know who we are really or what we may need. You know, because other people can't make you happy. You have to find happiness within yourself. And if we don't take out that time for ourselves, we're not going to be happy. But all those people that are dancing around us, they'll be happy. Okay? So hopefully that touches someone's heart, and hopefully it'll help encourage someone to look at themselves and change the situation they're in if need to be changed. It may not. Maybe you're okay, but if you're not, look at yourself. Find out who you are and realize what you need and what you want in your life, how you want your life to be. I was just telling my grandson maybe a month ago, it's time for you to take control of your own life. Don't let anyone lead you around by your nose. Like, you know, like they used to put, well, people wearing rings in their nose now, but it used to be, you would see, I think it was pigs that used to have that ring in their nose, and you would lead them around like that. We don't want to be led around like that, you know. Make up your own mind. Think about yourself. Look at yourself. You are important. Yes, you are the most important person in the world. And it doesn't mean that you're prideful. Pride can get in the way. But to consider yourself and put yourself first, your needs and your wants, that does not mean that you are prideful or selfish. Some of us need to be more selfish than we are. We're so busy, you know, catering to other people and bowing down to their needs. Jump every time they need something. Oh, I'm preaching to the choir, okay? And maybe you feel like that too. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But I've been there more than once. Been there, okay? So it's time. Time to change. To change. If you don't change, there won't be no change, right? Okay. And a lot of times we're so afraid to change because we wonder how other people will feel about us. Are they going to be mad at us, cuss us out, don't want to talk to us no more, put our name all out there in the street and make up stuff if they have to? Some people are like that too. But if you need to change, you can't worry about that. You cannot worry about that. If you've been good to someone and you know in your own judgment that you've been good to them, don't even worry about it. Okay? All right. Time out for you. Okay? The most important person in the world. Now, my guest today is Primrose Igonor. I don't really know how to pronounce her last name, and hopefully she will do that when she calls in. She, psychologist, faculty and diversity, equity, and inclusion coordinator at Marion Technical College. And she will be calling in at any moment here. Okay, and she wants to talk about Ubuntu, which means humanity towards others. Like I said, now if she, I'm not pronouncing these words correctly, she will set, you know, she will set it straight with us, okay? And remember, baby, it's cold outside, especially if you live in the northern part of the United States. It's cold, and we are expecting a snowstorm Wednesday. So make sure you keep on your galoshes and your hoods on your head, scarves around your neck, boots on your feet, and gloves on your hands, and be careful out there, okay? There was one more thing I wanted to touch on before she calls in, and that is, are we getting used to coronavirus now? It's been around all year. You think people really getting lax about it and really don't care about coronavirus? And now we're like, the entire United States is a hot spot. There's really no certain places that you can go now that coronavirus is not. I just heard the health department giving that statement because people are not quarantining themselves. They have the virus and are going out spreading it amongst other people. So it's either they don't believe it's coronavirus that they have, or they just don't care. Here is our guest. Hold on. Hello.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Primrose. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I do not know how to pronounce your last name. Could you do that for us?
Just Igonor.
Igonor. Okay. Yes. I like that. I love your accent, boy.
Huh? I'm saying thank you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Where are you from again?
I grew up in South Africa.
South Africa, okay.
Yeah, born in Uganda, but grew up in South Africa.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
Now, can you hear me clearly? Because I'm on my speaker. Is it fine to be on my speakerphone?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can.
Okay, all right. And you had stated that you wanted to talk about Ubuntu. Is that, am I saying that correctly?
It's Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Yes.
All right, but, all right.
Yeah. I'd actually also like to talk about my travels around the world, and then Ubuntu can feature into that, because I've lived in a number of countries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
So where have you been in your life travels so far?
Well, I have lived in Uganda, South Africa, Lesotho, Singapore, the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, Canada, and now here the United States.
Okay. What is Singapore like?
Oh, Singapore is a beautiful country. So it's a very small country, because to drive from one end of the country to the next, it takes 45 minutes.
Really?
Yes. And the interesting thing about Singapore is that in the 1960s, it was considered what we then called a third world country. We mm-hmm. now call them developing countries. But today, and when we lived in early 2000, it is considered by all measures like a first world country or developed country. So their then president worked really hard to bring them to where they are right now. Tropical climate, just a beautiful place. An interesting fact about Singapore, for each inhabitant of the population, there is a tree. I don't know what the exact population is now, but you can just imagine how many trees there are.
Whoa.
So it's very green, very lush, very bright, and just a beautiful place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What have you gathered from your travels around the world?
The main thing that I've gathered is that I am a global citizen.
Okay.
So I no longer just look at myself as, let's say, Ugandan or South African. Because I've lived and worked in these different countries, I consider myself a global citizen. And because of that, I can interact a lot easier with people that look different from me, that are different from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have learned so much from all these various countries that I've lived in. And I'm wondering, Linda, are we doing the interview right now?
Yes, it's live.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I thought when I was talking to you earlier, I thought we were just kind of signing up and all that. Okay. Yeah, so that for me is a huge thing there. So, for instance, when I lived in the United Arab Emirates, a lot of people call it Dubai, but the name of the country is United Arab Emirates. It was my first experience living amongst Muslim people. And being Christian, being raised Christian, I had certain stereotypical views about Muslims, specifically Muslim women. So thinking to myself, oh, they must be downtrodden. They have to wear the abaya, that's the black clothing that they wear. You know, they walk a step behind their husband, so all these poor women, and, you know, just having all these misconstrued ideas about those women.
Right.
And yet when living amongst them, finding them to be so funny, so strong, so in charge of their family. So when I lived there, I taught English as a second language at one of the private schools. And interestingly enough, boys and girls were separated. So I would teach my boys. This was maybe about seventh grade boys. And then go to my girls. They were never put together. But the boys would always say, they called me Miss. Miss, please don't tell my mother that I failed or that I'm being naughty in class, because she is going to punish me. So these are women who really had a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me going to live amongst them and get to know them to understand that. So that was very interesting.
That is interesting, because we see a different side of that and hear a different side of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Something else that struck me about living there, and mind you, this was in 2001 to 2002, so I'm sure things have changed. But I remember asking myself, how come I don't see any disabled people out in public?
Hmm.
And I had a number of people that I got to know, and I asked them the question, and they said, unfortunately, people are so embarrassed of their disabled family members that they literally keep them locked up at home.
Oh, really?
So you just wouldn't see them out in public. But like I say, I'm sure that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so different viewpoints about, you know, how to look at people that are different,
right,
is what I've discovered in these countries that I've lived in.
That is interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be more safe. They would be safer at home, but then again, you would think, isn't that kind of inhumane that they can't come out amongst the population of, you know, their cities that they live in, because they are disabled or maybe have to be confined to a wheelchair or something like that? But maybe it's for just safety measures. I wouldn't want to think it was because of embarrassment, you think?
Oh, unfortunately, it was because of embarrassment. When we lived there, it was a pretty safe country. A lot of expatriates, so a lot of people from the States, England, Canada. You know, it's a tax-free economy. So a lot of Americans were working there because they valued American professors.
Mm-hmm.
And what would they get out of it? Tax-free living. They would pay for your accommodation. They would pay for you to go on vacation back home once a year. So a lot of people saved a lot of money by living there. So it was a very safe place. And yeah, sadly, it was because of embarrassment and, stigma.
Okay. Very prideful.
I believe that has changed. I believe I saw a documentary a couple of months ago where they're getting, you know, people from developed countries to come into their country to work with people with disabilities.
Okay. Well, I would like to hope that has changed, you know.
Right.
Especially the embarrassing part, because they're still human and none of us are perfect, you know.
Absolutely.
None of us. Well, share right. A little bit about another place you've traveled.
So I also lived in the United Kingdom.
No, that was very England, right?
Yeah, England, yeah. Okay. So for 2.5 years, I lived in Bristol, which is in the southwest, and I worked in Wales. So England and Wales are two different countries. But literally, it was a half-hour drive to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that interesting. And the Welsh are very passionate about their language. So all the signs were written in English, and their language. I can't remember the name. I don't want to say Gaelic, but so their language is just a very unique sounding language, and even when you look at it spelt out. Mm-hmm. And I was just amazed that, you know, being so close to England, being part of a developed world, that they still hang on to their Welsh identity. And for me, that was really good to see, because as an African, I used to think that only happened a lot in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So to be in Wales and to realize that was, yeah, it was very interesting. It was also my first experience with snow, because being born in Uganda, which is right on the equator, there's no snow. South Africa does have winter, but it's not like the winter here with all the snow. So in England, I was outdoors, and I saw these flakes, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how could somebody be barbecuing when it's this cold? And those flakes were actually snow. I thought it was ash coming from their barbecue. And it was actually snow.
Mm.
So that was just my first experience. And then once you see it all on the ground, it's like, whoa, so this is what it's about. And so living there we were very fortunate to live in a very multicultural place, neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that you appreciate, especially when you move to the United States. So all the countries that we lived in, let me talk about the UK, Canada. Our experience there as African people is we happened to be in the right places, which were very multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to the US, very, very different experience, which is sad, because this is a country with so many different cultures, but they're so separated.
Right.
So you have black people who live here, white people who live here. And when that happens, you don't really get to know one another.
That's right.
And for us, that has really been a major challenge, because we came from countries where, yes, nowhere is perfect. But it was nice to live in a place where you could get to know your neighbors, get to know people that were different from you.
Mm-hmm.
And here, unless you're intentional about it, it's not going to happen. And so we came in 6 years ago, just as President Obama was leaving office, and then when Trump became president. And the difference between the two has just been such an eye-opener.
I bet it has been.
Mm-hmm. And because we have two sons, you know, black boys,
mm-hmm.
it's hit home even more. When do you talk to your children about race?
Yeah.
You don't expect to talk to them early on in their development. But unfortunately, you find yourself rushing to do those things, because if you don't, how safe are they going to be? So that has been, very challenging. And sometimes we find ourselves asking ourselves, are we in the right place? So we came from Canada. The only reason we moved is we lived in Alberta, which was very, very cold.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody in Ohio can ever complain about it being cold. They need to move to Alberta. 6 months of snow,
Oh. And
that's just what it is.
Mm.
And we loved it there. Like I say, we felt it was more multicultural. We lived there for 10 years, so we had a sense of community. We never worried about our children, our boys.
Right.
But here it's become right at the forefront of our thinking. How do we raise them? How do we ensure that they are proud to be the identities that they are,
right,
and not have that taken away from them?
Right. You know, listening to that, that's really sad, but it is reality in the United States. And like you said, why is the greatest nation in the world and the richest nation in the world, why do we have to put up with such trivial things,
mm-hmm.
about our identity and the color of our skin? And I was just watching the Jim Baker show before I came on, and I'm going to have to look up this author's name. He just wrote a book. And he, mm-hmm. was saying, not even the church really understands, white evangelicals really understand,
mm.
racism.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was white, but he was saying they have no idea, they have no clue. They're so used to pushing it aside that they don't deal with it, they don't look at it, they don't want to, and they feel like they don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because like it says, you know, all men were created equal. God made us all equal.
Right.
No matter what color we are, or stature we stand, or, you know. But if the church doesn't understand, how can we expect other people to understand in the United States? And why is that such a problem? And I think it comes from slavery.
Right. Absolutely. And it's interesting you're mentioning the church, because just yesterday on my Facebook page, I posted about Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa being a national treasure, being awarded an award that says he's a national treasure. And he also came up with this whole notion, or popularized the whole notion of Ubuntu, which means humanity towards others.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, South Africa has a very long history of segregation and apartheid. So black people lived in different places from where white people lived. Now, I can talk about this because, fortunately for me, I didn't experience that. I lived in a homeland which was self-governing countries within South Africa. And in those homelands, we had people of all nationalities, races, ethnicities. And they basically came together and said, we don't approve of this apartheid, this separation.
Right.
So I went to school with white kids. Sleepovers, parties, all these different things. So my experience growing up in South Africa was atypical, because prior to Nelson Mandela becoming president in 1994, South Africa was even worse, I would say, than the United States, because black people lived in townships and white people lived in other areas, so they were really separate. I remember going to South Africa last year, and we visited the National Museum of Apartheid. And just like you had here during slavery, only blacks allowed water fountains was for white people, water fountains for black people.
Mm-hmm.
Black people couldn't even walk on the road, on the sidewalk. If there was a white person on the sidewalk, you couldn't be on the sidewalk with them.
Right.
So we've come a really long way. So Desmond Tutu, when Nelson Mandela became president, started what we call the Truth and Reconciliation Council, the TRC. And the idea there was to get white and black people together.
Mm-hmm.
And white people apologize to black people about the segregation that they created, the way they treated them. And it sounds like such a simple idea.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of healing happened in that space. Just for your perpetrator to say, I am sorry, and for you to see that they're really sorry, they're crying and they're begging for forgiveness, did a lot for the black person receiving that message.
Mm-hmm.
And did a lot for that black person changing their mentality, maybe about white people. Because we should be looking at individuals, not at races.
That's true.
I can't say all white people are bad because I've had a bad experience with one individual white person. Look at the individual and not the group. And I was also very fortunate that in Canada, which actually is a country that coined the term apartheid, which means separateness.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. That's a very, they pride themselves on being multicultural. And for me, that is a reason that I would live in Canada any day. They know they started apartheid with the way they treated Indigenous people.
Right.
But they have redeemed themselves by opening their country for the most part to immigrants, embracing for the most part. Like I keep saying, it's not perfect anywhere, but I think it's certainly better there than it is here. And so when I lived in Canada, they also had that same TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Council.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Alberta, and I remember sitting in a circle with Indigenous people and white people from the church. and these white people saying to the indigenous people, I didn't personally do this to you,
right.
but on behalf of my ancestors, I would like to apologize for what was done to you.
Right.
And the tears and the emotion and the jubilation that happened as these circles just continued to express these whole ideas. Why can't that happen in this country? I'm surprised when I ask, has there ever been a TRC? I think it's only happened in one state. There's more than 50 states in this country.
Right.
Other countries have set the tone, so why not follow? Granted, you might say, oh, we're the greatest country, we know the best, but guess what? We can learn from one another.
Yes, we can.
If this has been somewhat successful in South Africa, if it has been somewhat successful in Canada, it's also been somewhat successful in Rwanda, because they also had something similar with the Hutus and the Tutsis. Why can't America follow and just say, state by state, let us work on some kind of truth and reconciliation?
I don't know, but you know, that gentleman I was listening to, he was stating that that's some of the things that the Lord is very upset about is racism.
Mm.
And he named that as number one, racism. Mm.
Mm.
Yep. And abortion was next, which is another racism. Another
right.
form of racism, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to
mm-hmm.
annihilate the black race. And that was the, that's why it was formed in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, so here we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're still looking at it mm-hmm. over here in this country, and we still don't really feel, even though we are free, we don't, sometimes we don't feel that free. We're still afraid of our children, our young black men, and our young black women
right.
also.
Right.
I mean, we're still, our young men are still being killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what can we say? What can we do?
And I think for me, the most distressing part there is they are our future.
Yes, they are.
If we don't get it right with them, what is our world going to look like?
Oh, my. But you know, I think,
it is
and I think there's less racism with people their age.
That's what they say, but unfortunately, it looks like that's not really the reality. I always thought that too, Linda.
Really?
I don't know if you ever heard of the Instagram, the hashtag that went viral with kids from school. So my sons attend the Olentangy School District,
mm-hmm.
and they had the hashtag Dear Olentangy, or OLSD, which is Olentangy School District.
Mm-hmm.
And these were kids talking about the racism that they face, the
wow.
sexism that they face, the homophobia that they face. And because of that, a lot of school districts have had to, number one, employ diversity personnel
mm-hmm.
so they can start addressing the issues that our young people are experiencing. We thought they didn't have any of this, but they do. So there's a lot of work to be done.
There is a lot of work to be done. And unfortunately, we go one step forward and three steps backwards.
Right, right. So, yeah, I don't know how it will be done. But I honestly feel that if everybody did their little part, their little piece,
right,
whatever it is they can do, instead of just waiting for one person to do it all.
Right.
For me, that's very crucial. And that's what I do in my role as Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Coordinator at Marian Technical College.
Mm-hmm.
Is just try to bring awareness. Because as awareness happens and people become more knowledgeable, more confident, then they go out there and they share with their family members at Thanksgiving. And it might not work out the way you think it's supposed to work out, but you just put a nugget there.
Right.
Maybe the next time before your family member says something derogatory about somebody, they'll think, hey, you know, my niece or my nephew said something to me, and I just have to be cognizant of what they say to me.
That's true. That's true.
So we need to be the change in the world that we want to see. We can't say, hey, I'm waiting for Linda to do it. I'm waiting for Primrose to do it. I've got to do my part.
Yes, we all do. We all play a part in humanity and in this world, and decisions mm-hmm. being made every day.
Absolutely.
It's sad. It's really sad, and it's everywhere, and you're right about that. I had an experience this weekend at a consignment store. Brand new shoes, heels, boots, almost anything you'd want. Size 7.5 and 8. And there were other women in there bringing their things in too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they text me and told me my things were ready. Either they pay you or take some things out and give it back to you. She would not take not one pair of shoes. Not even one. Oh, they're not really selling for us. Those are high heels are too high. They had high heels. It was an upscale consignment store. So, you know, they had heels and furs and everything else in there.
Right.
You know, she wouldn't even take one pair.
And I mean, the little that I know about you and how stylish you are, that's so shocking to me.
Oh, they were sharp. Liz Claiborne, all kind of shoes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Paid a nice penny for them, brand new.
Wow.
Why? Because there are more white people in there, or maybe one of the, and I thought, well, maybe one of the white ladies said, if you take her things, we will not come back in here. You don't know.
No, absolutely.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And it would have benefited her, even though she would have gave me a little bit of change, it would have benefited their store even much more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Didn't want it.
Wow. But you know what, Linda? Despite that, and despite what's happening around us, we're thankful that we can still stand up,
yes.
show up, be present, do whatever it is we want to do. So we're not completely broken and down.
Amen.
And we just have to keep at it.
Right. We thank God for that, for keeping us up,
right.
and holding us up
yes.
with His righteous right hand, because without Him, we couldn't do anything.
Absolutely.
But He is not pleased with it at all.
No, I can imagine. And which reminds me about allies. We talk about racism and all of that, but there are some really good white people out there.
Oh, yes, there are.
That I actually can consider and call my friends.
Yes.
And so again, we have to be able to role model for the world that this is possible.
Right.
You can have white friends who you trust, who have your best interests at heart, and you have their best interests at heart. So we have to keep that positivity going.
Yes, we do.
Right.
Yes, we do. And we understand that white people are not all bad, and all black people are not all bad either. But it's like some people just wants to put us all in one heap, you know, and
right.
one pile, and say, well, they're all no good, none of them. And I really think that slavery is the culprit of that. I really do.
Right.
It's like maybe that's how people still see us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to push for people to become anti-racist.
Mm-hmm.
Do not look at the group and just put that whole label on everybody in that group.
Right.
Like you said, there's some not so good black people. There's some not so good white people. But we're not going to say all black people are not so good. All white people are not so good.
That's true. We can't do that.
So I think... Yes, I think education is key. You know, you keep bringing up slavery. We have to teach it as it happened. Our kids need to know.
You're right.
We kind of glorify the whole history of slavery. We have to tell each and every single part of that.
As ugly as it is. But you're right.
Right.
They need to know. They need to know.
Absolutely. Because that's when I think change starts. It's uncomfortable initially.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say in my work I have been pushed to points where I'm very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stick it out as much as possible, eventually you get more comfortable. So we have to be uncomfortable. We have to get comfortable about being uncomfortable.
Right.
And if you can embrace that, then despite how uncomfortable it is in your mind, you're saying it will eventually become more comfortable. Just have to ride this wave.
You're right. We don't have much choice.
Right. Exactly.
But fight the battle and hang in there, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh.
But so I don't know how much more time we have. I just quickly wanted to talk about Ubuntu, which I said means humanity towards others. I see I am who I am because of who you are. I can't exist without you. We need each other. We need each other in terms of our races, in terms of our ages, in terms of our sexual orientation. We need to have that humanity towards others. We talk about extending grace. You know, during COVID, we've had to change things. I also teach, and I've had to be much more understanding of my students submitting late work.
Right.
So I have to put myself in their shoes and say, yes, you know, I'm at home. I'm fortunate that my kids are older. They have their own rooms. They have their own laptops. So I don't have to share a laptop with anybody.
Right.
But what if I have a student that has one laptop in a house of six people?
And they have to share.
They have to share. They can't get to their homework that's due. I have to be able to put myself in that person's shoes. And in that way, I'm showing humanity
right.
towards others.
Right.
And I think we need to go back to the basics.
A lot of times,
we as African people...
We have like 6 seconds.
Okay, there we go.
But we'll have to just do this again.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM,
LP,
Marion, Ohio.
Okay, bye-bye.
The place for holiday fun.
When we gathered with our friends around the Christmas tree, we would sing a lot of the Christmas songs. My favorite Christmas song was White Christmas. It was written by Irving Berlin. And sometimes Irving would join us at the piano and lead us in the singing. Can you imagine the Christmas choir consisting of Bob Hope, Irving Berlin, Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, their wives and their children at this most happy occasion?
Shots, nuts, roasting, I'm an open